Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
And now I am going to be joined by Dr. Niamh Roach, who is Senior Project Officer at Bat Conservation Ireland. We talked at the top of the show there, Niamh, about bats and how they really polarise people. But what do you do if you find bats in your attic?
Well, hi, Maura. How's it going? I suppose what we would say when it comes to bats in attics is really if people can tolerate them, if they're not causing any problems, we would really ask if people can they just leave them be? Because often where bats are roosting in attic spaces, it's because that they have, you know, really nice thermal qualities, you know, like they get nice and hot during the day. And this is actually what bats are looking for in the summer in Ireland. They're looking for places where they can give birth to just one baby. They only have a single pup in the summertime, and then they feed their baby milk because they're mammals. But they want their baby to be kept nice and warm because that means that the baby has a greater chance of surviving. So that's what bats are actually looking for, is a nice warm place to stay.
See, I love bats and I'm always trying to convert people because I think they're lovely, furry, cute little things. I just think they are so lovely. 51551, by the way, for you guys listening today, this is the text number. It does divide people, though, when it comes to bats. But let's talk about our bat population. How many different species of bats do we have?
Well, we have 9 resident bat species in Ireland. So, you know, if you go into sort of mainland continental Europe, there might be like 30 or 40 species. But as you come further north and, you know, into the sort of the cooler regions, you get fewer and fewer bat species. So we have 9 across the island of Ireland. One of them is very rare. It's only found along the western coast. It's called the lesser horseshoe bat. And then the rest are pretty much found across the island. Some of them are more common than others. You get some that are, you know, found in kind of urban areas and rural areas as well. Some of them would be a bit more specialised and they like a lot of woodland around or maybe rivers. So, you know, they're quite variable, but they do all eat insects. They're insectivores, all of the bat species that we have in Ireland. So, you know, that is one thing to remember. You know, if you are a householder and you've got bats around, and if you do any gardening or even if you're a farmer, they are consuming a lot of the sort of insects that we would consider to be pests. So your mosquitoes, your midges, if you're interested in farming and gardening. We did a study there recently where we asked people to send bat droppings from the bats from their bat roosts. And they sent them in to UCD, who did some DNA analysis on their poop. And they actually found that 50% of those bat poos actually had the remains of crane fly. People often know them as daddy long legs. And they're really significant for gardeners and farmers because they lay eggs in soil and the eggs develop into little maggots called leather jackets, which then eat crops and eat vegetables. So they're, you know, our bats are doing us what you call an ecosystem service by eating the insects that we don't want.
Yeah, they really are. They really are helpful for the ecology, for the environment, as you said, for farmers, for everyone. But why then are people, do you think, so polarised when it comes to bats? We have a few texts in here. Hi, Maura. Yeah. This is from Ethna. I was reared in the country. I was always terrified of bats. Had this fear that they got stuck in my hair and I couldn't get rid of them. They zoom around aimlessly and could crash into anything.
Well, I mean, that's probably not true, because bats actually, even though they're not blind, they can see and can see quite well in dim light. They use this fascinating way of getting around. It's called echolocation. So they use these really, really high-pitched sounds. So like these, make these squeaks. Every time they beat their wings, they breathe out. And as they breathe out, they squeeze their voice box. And they make these really, really high-pitched squeaks. So they're flying along, squeak, squeak, squeaking very fast. And they can build up a whole three-dimensional picture of their surroundings based on sound. We listen in on those calls. You know, if you're interested in bats or if you do any study any bats, you would use a little device called a bat detector, which actually converts that sound into something we can hear with our own ears, because we don't hear so well in those high frequencies. So the bats are building up these really fine-tuned pictures. And they're so fine-tuned that they can actually, you know, they can detect a little midge flying in the air in front of them. So they can certainly detect people, and they can tell where people are, and they can avoid them. So you'll often come across people who are afraid that bats will get caught in your hair, and you will sometimes find somebody who knows someone who knows someone who knew someone once who got a bat caught in their hair, but I've never met that person who had the bat caught in their hair just yet. So, you know, basically our bats are very well adapted to flying around people who are walking maybe on a country lane at night. And, you know, often you get this kind of pillar of insects or swarming insects above your head. And, of course, the bats are attracted to that and they'll fly around your head, but they won't fly into you.
Yeah, well, that's good to know. That's good to know. We had bats in our attic in our last house. We loved having them. We never had any issue with flies, which is really great because they ate them all. We now live by the lake and would so like it if the bats would moved in because, of course, there are so many flies and midges and all that around.
Yes. Well, I mean, that's it. I mean, we say that the people who have bats and conserve them, they're the real conservation heroes. We get a lot of people who say to us, well, what can I do for bats? And, you know, the number one thing is if you have them roosting in a building or a barn, or, you know, if you can just tolerate them, their presence for those few weeks in the summer when they're there, and let them, you know, do their thing. They usually would leave the maternity roost or the attic space in sort of August when the young are able to fly. So it's usually a fairly short-lived issue when the bats are there. And also, if they are caught, if they deposit droppings in an attic space, you can put down plastic and collect up the bat droppings. And actually, it's really good fertilizer because, you know, in tropical countries where there are caves with hundreds of thousands of bats, people will actually harvest that and it's used as fertilizer.
Oh yeah, I actually went to one of those caves many, many years ago. It was in, I think, Malaysia, a very, very famous cave. And I remember the smell, that really very strong smell. But I liked it. I loved the cave because I love bats and I went on purpose to see them there. So when they're in the eaves, you're not allowed. It's illegal to carry out works, of course, while bats are roosting and while they have the little baby in the eaves.
So they are protected. They're protected under our Wildlife Act and under European legislation. This is because bats underwent huge declines, particularly across Europe. You know, the rare species I mentioned, the lesser horseshoe bat, that went extinct in some parts of Europe, you know, due to big landscape changes, you know, increased urbanisation, loss of hedgerows and things like that. So, you know, bats are protected and they're very vulnerable because, you know, they're unusual because they're a tiny, small mammal, but they only give birth to one baby. You know, often very small mammals like mice and that, they would give birth to a lot of babies, live fast, die young, whereas bats have this other kind of life strategy. They live quite a long time, but they only give birth to one baby a year.
Is it true they can live until they're 40, Niamh?
Yeah, there's been a branch bat found in Siberia and it was ringed first in the 1960s, as far as I remember, maybe it was the 80s, and then it was refound 41 years later.
Amazing. So, can I ask you, Niamh, as well, because we have lots of people getting in touch, would you, what would you suggest, this is from Maria and Cork, to encourage bats into the garden? Is there a kind of a bat box or a certain plants that will attract them in?
Oh, yeah, we're actually, we're just starting work on a pilot gardening for bats project, actually, and we're devising new materials and stuff to help people encourage bats in their gardens. So we would say if you can plant native species, obviously that's best. Plants that attract nocturnal pollinators would be very good. So those would be kind of mauve, lavender, white-coloured flowers. They would often be very nice for pollinators that are around at night, like moths and those kind of species. So that would be really good. A pond is great for bats because they do like to take a drink, but then also putting in trees. And you can put in bat boxes. So, you know, bat boxes are good for one or two bats. They don't really replace attic spaces, which are nice and big and have lots of different warm spaces. So the bat boxes tend to be used by sort of small numbers of bats, but they still can be beneficial.
Is there a website that our listeners can go on to check out more if they want to learn more about bats, Niamh?
Absolutely. So our website is batconservationireland.org.
Batconservationireland.org, okay.
Yeah, and we've actually recently rearranged it so that it's a bit clearer for people who have queries and concerns about bats, and they can go through and click on the different questions.
All the info's
so
there.
They can find out more.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Niamh, thank you so much. That is Dr. Niamh Roach, Senior Project Officer at Bat Conservation Ireland. Let's take a little break.